Do you enjoy storms? I see some yeses, I see some noes. We woke up this morning to the sound of rain on our roof. Is that a beautiful sound?
Yeah.
Early morning, I don't know, 5 o'clock, I don't know when it started, but that's when we heard it. In California, storms are kind of rare. Endless summer, day after day of sunshine. But when storms do finally come, they come with vengeance. Like this big storm we're looking at right now. It's supposed to come anyway. Hillary, a hurricane, tropical storm. They call it the storm of the century. So far it's kind of fizzled, hasn't it? But it may still come. And if it does, you know what it'll do. It'll overflow the streets. There'll be flooding in homes. The roads will be a mess. Lakes will be full, though. We get a year's worth of rain in a few days when it rains in California. So when it rains, it pours. I used to live in Running Springs, and I loved driving the rim. I didn't like living that far away from the church. But the landscape and the sky is always changing as you drive the rim. What's fun is when there's storms happening out in another area, you can see the streak in the sky. Well, we're in the sunshine. It's fun to watch the storms. I love storms. I love to see the lightning striking. I like storms, but I like them from a distance. I don't necessarily like to be in them. In Oregon, we had lots of storms, lots of weather. We lived most of our life in Oregon. People would go to the ocean, to the coast, rent a room, and they call it storm watching. They want a room with a window facing the ocean so they could sit in their nice cozy room and watch the storms go by and watch the waves and the crashing and the lightning. They like storms, as long as they're in a warm, cozy room. Most of us like storms, but we like them maybe from a distance. We're going to do something today. It's kind of fun. I thought this would be a good experiment. We're going to cause a storm to happen in this room. It's something you do at camp, but we're going to pretend we're at camp. We're going to use sound effects. We're going to make a storm happen in this room. Here's what we're going to have. Try brushing your hands together like this. That's the drizzle of the first little bit of rain. Try clicking your fingers. That's the rain starting to come down. Pat your legs. Ah, rain's really starting to come down. Tap your feet along with your legs. Come on, let's hear that thunder. Ooh, they're roaring, ooh. Now let's go backwards. Well, I guess that's... you want to try that together? Okay, I'm going to lead it. For this to work, it's got to be deadly quiet in here. So not a sound. Every cell phone turned off? We wouldn't want to interrupt a storm with a cell phone. All right, so you follow me. I won't say it, I'll just do it. Are you ready for the storm? How'd that feel? I feel like a storm coming through. It came and went. Let's hope the next storm comes that quickly and goes away that quickly. I'd like to talk to you today about storms. So we're taking a break from our series. And you say, why am I talking about storms? Well, because we're supposed to be getting the storm of the century here. But we'll see if it materializes. But a storm, when we talk about it in our life, can mean something more than troubling weather. It also means troubling circumstances in our life. We talk about the storms of life. We use that term. I'm going through quite a stormy time in my life. You know, Jesus once told a parable about two buildings. Remember, a wise man who built his house on a rock, on a firm foundation, and a foolish man who built his house on the sand, on a weak foundation. And they're both, maybe they look identical. The only thing different was the foundation. And the storm came in. And guess what? The storm hit both houses. Don't think you're immune from the storms. Everyone's going to face storms. One of the houses stood firm, and one fell flat. And what's Christ's point? Is everyone will experience storms. And your foundation, your relationship with God will determine how you manage to survive the storm or not survive the storm. So storms are inevitable, they're unavoidable. Christians and non-Christians alike will suffer difficulties, hardships. The Bible says in this world we'll have tribulation. That's a promise. It's not a promise I want, but the rest of the promise says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So we're going to be here in this world experiencing troubles, but someday we'll be with the Christ and we'll be immune from the troubles then. The secret to surviving the storms is having a firm foundation, building your life on Christ and His Word. I'm hoping I'm talking to the choir here. I'm hoping all of you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, so let me ask you again, do you enjoy storms? Yeah. Maybe weather storms, but do you enjoy the storms of life? Most of us would rather not have those storms. Maybe enjoy them from a distance, but not necessarily be in them. My text today, we read in our scripture reading in Psalm 29. We're not going to display the verses. You've got that sheet of paper. I want to follow that very closely. On the back side is an outline, front side of the verses. I gave Dave a day off, and we're not going to do it PowerPoint. This is a beautiful psalm. We just read it, and it describes a fierce storm. But I want you to notice before we even read it, the last verse. Verse 10 and 11. It says, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's the key verse of the whole thing. Oh, you put the verse up for me. Thank you, Dave. My point in all this, we're going to read this through a little bit more, but I want you to know that God is king when the storms happen. God is sovereign over your storms of life. He's reigning. He's in control. The Lord sits as king, it says, forever. God is still on his throne. Just because your life is falling apart doesn't mean God isn't in charge. He's king. He's in control. Notice how the psalm begins. It says, a psalm of David. David was a shepherd, you know that. An outdoorsman. He's the one that wrote the 23rd Psalm and other psalms about nature. Talked about the beauty of the stars and the skies and the all around him. So he writes this psalm. He must have been outside one day with the sheep. I don't know for sure the circumstances, but a storm came through. And he decides to write a poem about it. A poem or a song or a psalm, what we call them. So David describes the storm using a lot of descriptive language. Hebrew poetry isn't rhyming, it's a lot of repetition, so you're going to see a lot of the same things repeated over and over, and they're building on each other. But he sees a storm approaching from a distance, and it comes right over him and passes by. But instead of fear, the natural response when you're in a storm, we see David worshiping God in the storm. And that's my point today, worshiping God in the storm. How do you respond to your storms? Do you crumble? Do you run? Do you cower? Or do you stand firm and worship God in the storm? That's the question today. That's the title today, worshiping God in the storm. Maybe you're experiencing a severe storm. Maybe it's a health scare. Maybe it's a financial issue. Some trials, some tribulations. Maybe a loss of a loved one. Your life just seems to be overwhelming. David another time talked about all your billows and your waves are rolling me over. I think that's Psalm 42. It's the idea that I just feel knocked off my feet sometimes. We're going to study Psalm 29. We're going to see how, like David, we can worship God in the storm. I've given you an outline, and my first point is the first rumblings of the storm. David saw a storm approaching, and you could tell because where he's going to describe it, it's not on him yet. Psalm 29, verse 1. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. His initial reaction is to say, God is so powerful, so great. The storm is coming towards me. He worshiped God. The power of the storm reminded him of the power of God. He didn't see it just as a circumstance, but he saw it as a divine appointment to watch this beautiful storm come through. You know, God has revealed himself in nature. The closer we look at creation, the closer we want to draw to our Creator. If you really love creation, if you love the beautiful landscapes and sunsets and storms and clouds and skies, it should only draw us to want to worship God. That's what happened to David. David uses the word Lord 18 times in the psalm. It's only 11 verses. And Lord is the word Jehovah, or the personal name for God. If you add the pronouns, his and he and king, other references to God, God is referred to 25 times in these 11 verses. So he's all about God. He's not all about the storm. He's all about God. David saw the storm, but David saw above and beyond the storm to God. He says, God, you're the power behind this storm. If we could do that with our circumstances and say, I see a storm, but if we can lift our eyes above, lift up your head and see God above your circumstances, that's what he did. When you see a storm approaching, it's coming in, you go, that's going to hit me. That's going to be a hard time. This is going to be powerful. This is the time not to panic, but to worship God. So he sees the storm approaching, talks about over the waters. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. This word voice of the Lord is repeated in this Hebrew poem 7 times. What is this voice that he's hearing? Well, I believe it's the crash of thunder and lightning. Every time it thunders, it goes, God's speaking again. 7 thunders, 7 lightning strikes. Each one is called God's voice. And his point is God is speaking in this storm. He's speaking in your storm too. Are you listening? Are you listening to what God is trying to say, how he's trying to get your attention? Where does David see the storm? He says out over the waters. Twice it says that. Out in the sea, out and off in a distance. So these are the first rumblings of a storm coming towards him. As it reaches land, it grows in intensity. It sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like a hurricane. It's out at sea and it comes across. And we get to watch it on radar. He got to watch it with his eyes. See, this storm's coming. When it hits land, it's going to be rough. So we see the first rumblings of the storm. Now we see the fierce ragings of the storm. Beginning in verse 5. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. What's he saying? The voice of the Lord breaks cedars. It's lightning strikes. He says, now there's off the water and onto land, the trees are being hit and the trees are crumbling. We've all seen the damage lightning can do to trees. It wasn't that long ago that we had lightning hit a tree behind the church here, a big cedar tree. You know how they are always kind of weak at the top. And half that tree came down on top of the CE building. We had to add a new roof to that building because of that. That's what he's describing. His trees are shattering. Because God is speaking with power. Verse 6 continues, he makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a wild ox. He's using hyperbole. He's using poetic language. He says the mountains, as if they're skipping, it must be vibrating of the thunder and the lightning as it strikes. Verse 7 continues, the voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. Isn't that beautiful? That's lightning. God speaks and fire comes out. You ever been caught outside in a thunderstorm? I have once. Now, I've had them in my house where they're all around us and the lightning is hitting and the thunder is happening and you go, this is close. But one time, I lived in Alberta, Canada for 4 years. And I don't know why I was out during a storm, but I was out in a storm and then the whole sky was lighting up and crashing around us and pouring down rain. And I think the only way I escaped was to get under a culvert or a overpass to get down lower because someone said, you got to get out of here. That's pretty scareful. Scareful, is that a word? Pretty awful. Pretty scary. But David seems to be enjoying the storm. I think maybe I kind of enjoyed it because of the thrill of it all, but it was kind of fearful. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. So the ground was shaking and quaking. Even the wild animals are being affected. Look at verse 9. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve. So the terror of the storm induces labor in the deer. It's a life-changing kind of experience to go through that kind of a storm. And it strips the forest bare. All the leaves are blown off the trees because of the wind. The forests are bare. And in this temple, everything says glory. Not, oh, we're undone, but glory to God. I know it says temple there, but I kind of think it means everything in the temple of nature is all shouting glory to God. All creation pauses to acknowledge the awesome power of God when this storm comes through. What is the truth to be learned here? God is speaking through the storm. The voice of God is shouting like thunder. The question is, are we listening? God is speaking to us in our storm, in our troubles, in our trials. And are we listening? When trials come, and they will, I don't say if trials come, but when trials come, don't tune God out. Don't blame God and raise your fist. Instead, tune God in. Say, well, God, what are you trying to tell me in this storm, in this hardship, in this trial, in this tribulation? Don't run away from God. Run to God during your trials. Don't panic, but stop and praise God. Say, God, I know you got a purpose for all this. Don't worry, but worship, knowing that God is in control. A few weeks ago, we studied the book of Job in our series through the Bible. Job experienced the fiercest storm we could ever imagine. None of us have experienced a storm like Job. He lost his wealth all in one day. All of his animals, his livestock, his money, his servants. And then he lost his family the same day. His 10 children all died. A little later, he lost his health. His body was covered with boils. That's what you call a stormy life, stormy experience. The natural response when going through such a severe storm is to despair of life. That's what his wife said. She says, curse God and die, Job. I mean, this is miserable. But what did Job do? He worshiped God in the storm. How do I know? Because we have Job 1:20. It says, then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshiped. Worshiped. He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God. He stopped and worshiped God. And then he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's a model for us of how to handle a storm. Say, God, it's unfortunate what's happened, but it's all by your permissive hand. And I will bless you in spite of it. Complete surrender. Complete trust. God, you are in charge. I trust you. Can you say that in your life? If you can say that, then you can handle any storm that comes your way because God allows it. Do you trust God even in the storm? The final two verses of Psalm 29 are maybe the most important verses in the whole book. We've already read them, but I want to read them again. They tell us why we can praise God through a storm and how we can handle our storms victoriously. We've noticed the first rumblings of the storm. We've noticed the feared ragings of the storm. Finally, the final results of the storm, verses 10 and 11. As the storm passes by, David shares two secrets to help him and to help us through our storms. I kind of view these as rainbows. Don't you love it when a storm goes by and leaves a rainbow behind? That storm is leaving and the sun is shining. These storms are hard, but God ends this passage with encouragement and hope. Two things, two secrets. I wrote those in your outline there. Number one, recognize God's sovereignty. God's sovereignty. Notice in verse 10, who's in charge of the storm? It says, the Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. God is in control even of the flood, even of the storm. Your storm of life somehow is by God's permissive design. God is sovereign. And notice the tenses. Let me read it again. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. In other words, God is in charge of the past, the present, and the future. He will continue to be king over your storms. Our God reigns. He's called the King. Why could David be content through his troubles? Because he knew that God is in control. God is in control. How should we handle our storms? By stopping and reminding ourselves that God is sovereign. He's in charge. It's providence that you're in this situation. God has a plan and purpose for our lives. God has a plan and purpose that includes storms sometimes. We all know Romans 8:28, but I'll say it again. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. God causes all things, good and bad things, both. Storms and sunshine, both. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. You know, I noticed some rhyming. I know this isn't non-intentional for David, but it comes out in our reading here. In verse 5, it says, the Lord breaks the cedars. Verse 8, it says, the Lord shakes the wilderness. And then in verse 9, it says, the Lord makes. I think that's interesting. That's an interesting pattern. Breaks, shakes, and makes. What am I saying here? Is God must break us before he can make us. He breaks us, and then he makes us. God must weaken us so that we might experience his strength. God has a plan and a purpose for our trials. He wants to make us stronger, better, and trials is part of that. James says it this way. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various storms. It says trials, but I'm going to use the word storms. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, there's a plan and purpose. He must weaken us, allow us to go through trials, so that he might strengthen us, that we might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So we've noticed the first secret of weathering the storm is recognize God's sovereignty. He's in charge. And secondly, verse 11, recognize God's sufficiency. Recognize God's sufficiency. He will carry us through even the severest storms. Look at verse 11. The Lord will give you strength. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Did that say the Lord might give strength? Is that what that said? You got it in front of you. What does it say? The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. That's a promise, isn't it? When you go through a trial, through a hardship, God will give you strength if you look to him. God will give you peace in the midst of your trial. Notice again that verse. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. So God has given us peace. God gives us strength. Two things. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Isn't that exactly what we need? Is strength and peace. When you go through a hardship, you need strength. Are you going through a hardship? You need God to strengthen you. He says, I'll give strength to my people. Do you feel like you're ready to sink? Ready to give up? Ready to fall over? This is the time that the Lord will strengthen you. Jesus promises, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. When we're weak, then we're strong. Jesus invites us to tap into this power, to trade our weakness for his power. Listen to Isaiah. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So not only does God give us strength, but he also gives us peace, that verse says. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Now that's a promise too. What did Jesus say? He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's John 14. Don't let your heart be troubled. God is offering you peace. Trials come, difficulties come, but trust in the Lord. He will give you peace that passes human understanding. So in times of trouble, in times of storm, remember that God is sufficient to meet you. He'll give you strength to hold you up and peace that you might continue. Strength for when we are weak and peace for when we are worried, when we're troubled. So that is that whole psalm. What we've learned today is to worship God in the storm. We've learned that God is sovereign over the storms, and God is sufficient in the storms. God is sovereign over the storms. God is sufficient in the storms. So let me ask you as I wrap up, are you going through a storm? I think at any one time, many of us are. And you know what your troubles are, and you don't want to share those with people, that's okay. Share them with God. He'll give you strength. He'll give you peace. So pause and worship God. Praise Him for His sovereignty. Praise Him for His sufficiency. Thank Him for the strength, and thank Him for the peace. That's what we learned from today's psalm. Let's pause and pray. Right now, I'm sure some of you are going through difficult times, uncertain health issues, financial issues, relationship issues, work issues, children issues, parent issues, and you're worried, you're troubled. This is the time to say, God, you're in control over my storm, and I'm going to worship you in the storm. And Lord, you are sufficient to give me your strength and your peace. I claim those today. Take a minute and just pray in your own heart. Father, we pray for the literal storm that's supposed to hit our area. We pray for safety. We pray that it will pass over and not be a big deal. But Lord, even if it is, we will trust you, knowing that you're in control. And Father, for those going through the storms of life, I pray that they would draw their strength from you and their peace from you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.